color creates the feeling. Most brands choose their colors the same way people choose paint for a living room. Someone likes a color. The color feels right. The color looks good in the logo. Done. Nobody asks what the color communicates to a stranger who has never encountered the brand before. Nobody asks what the color says next to a competitor's color. Nobody asks what happens to the color in reverse, in print, or on a screen at 2 a.m. in dark mode. They pick what they like and they move on. This is not a color strategy. It is a preference. The preference is not the same as intention. Color is the fastest language a brand has. 88% of initial brand judgments made within the first 90 milliseconds are driven entirely by color, with shape and typography ranking a distant second and third. Before a customer reads your name, before they register your tagline, before they process a single word of your copy, the emotional impression is already formed. Color did that in under 2 seconds. That impression is not neutral. It is not arbitrary. It is the product of two distinct systems operating simultaneously, color theory and color psychology. And most brands have never clearly understood what either one is, let alone how to use both deliberately. Color theory, the grammar. Color theory is not a feeling, it is a system. Johannes Itten formalized it at the Bauhaus in the 1920s, building on Isaac Newton's work with prisms in the 17th century. Color theory is the systematic study of how colors relate to each other, how they interact, contrast, harmonize, and behave when placed in proximity. It is the grammar of visual communication. You can use it without understanding it the same way you can speak a language without studying its grammar. But the moment you try to do something precise with color, the grammar is what you need. The foundation of color theory is the color wheel, 12 hues arranged in a circle, 3 primary colors, red, yellow, blue, 3 secondary colors, orange, green, purple, and 6 tertiary colors created by mixing primaries with their adjacent secondaries. The wheel is useful because color relationships become geometric. Colors opposite each other on the wheel create maximum contrast. Colors adjacent to each other create harmony. Colors equidistant around the wheel create balance. Once you understand the geometry, building a palette stops being guesswork. From that geometry come 6 palette types, each producing a distinct visual and psychological effect. Monochromatic, tints, shades, and tones of a single hue. The result is clean, minimal, and almost impossible to clash. Sophisticated when done well, flat when done lazily. Brands using monochromatic palettes signal restraint, confidence, and a certain kind of editorial authority. Think of the all-black luxury brand or the single blue financial institution. The limitation, only one hue, becomes the strength. Nothing competes. Everything coheres. Analogous 3 to 5 colors sitting adjacent on the wheel. Red, orange, and yellow. Blue, teal, and green. Because these colors are close relatives, they create a naturally harmonious palette that feels comfortable and organic. Analogous palettes are common in nature. Sunset oranges, pinks, and purples, which is why they are so calming to the eye. Brands in wellness, hospitality, and lifestyle categories reach for analogous palettes because they feel approachable and not confrontational. The risk is blandness. Analogous palettes can feel safe to the point of forgettable if there is no deliberate hierarchy in the hue selection. Complementary, 2 colors directly opposite each other on the wheel, red and green, blue and orange, yellow and purple. The effect is maximum visual contrast. The 2 colors make each other vibrate because they sit at opposite ends of the spectrum. Pepsi, IKEA, McDonald's, all complementary palettes. Complementary schemes are the loudest, most attention-commanding palette type. They are also the most fatiguing at full saturation, which is why most experienced brand designers desaturate one of the 2 colors to reduce tension while preserving contrast. Split complementary, a base color paired with the 2 colors adjacent to its complement instead of the complement itself. The result is high contrast without the visual intensity of a direct complementary pair. This harmony can be as engaging as direct complementary, but is less likely to be jarring because it is slightly less bold. It is the palette type that gives a brand edge without aggression, useful for brands that want to feel energetic but not combative. Triadic, three colors equidistant around the wheel, red, yellow, and blue, orange, green, and purple. Triadic palettes are vibrant, energetic, and inherently playful because no single color dominates when the three are in balance. When you need a bold, playful look, triadic palettes perform well, perfect for creative projects, children's branding, or communications that require vibrant visuals while maintaining structure. The trap is treating all three colors as equals. Most successful triadic brand palettes use one color as dominant, one as secondary, and one as accent in something close to a 60-30-10 ratio. Tetradic, four colors arranged as two complementary pairs, the most complex palette type and the hardest to balance. Tetradic palettes offer the widest range of hue, but require strict hierarchy to avoid visual chaos. Most brand palettes that feel busy are tetradic palettes that were never properly disciplined. Color psychology, the meaning. Color theory tells you how colors behave. Color psychology tells you what colors mean, and the distinction matters because the two systems operate on different mechanisms entirely. Color psychology is the study of how color affects human behavior, emotion, and cognition. Its roots are in both physiological response and cultural conditioning. Some of its effects are cross-cultural and physiological. Red genuinely raises heart rate and creates urgency, regardless of where someone was born, because it activates the sympathetic nervous system in a way cooler colors do not. Blue genuinely slows pulse rate and creates a sense of calm for the same reason. These are documented physiological responses, not opinions. But most color psychology is more contextual than the popular infographics suggest. The problem with color psychology, as it is usually taught, is that it treats colors like a lookup table. Red equals urgency, blue equals trust. Tick the box, move on. Context, culture, saturation, tone, and combination all change what a color communicates, sometimes dramatically. Green is the canonical example. For two decades, green reliably signaled sustainability, health, and environmental responsibility. Then greenwashing made green untrustworthy in those categories. The color did not change. The cultural context around it did. Green now has to work harder than it used to, and in certain categories, it works against you. This is the critical thing most brands miss. Color psychology is not a lookup table. It is a set of tendencies that are modulated by context, combination, saturation, and the specific associations the audience has already accumulated. The same red that signals appetite and energy for a fast food brand signals danger and aggression for a cybersecurity brand. The same black that communicates luxury for a fashion house communicates grief in a different cultural context. The color does not carry a fixed meaning. It carries a tendency that gets shaped by ething around it. Where theory meets psychology in a brand palette. The most effective brand palettes are built at the intersection of theory and psychology, using the structural logic of color theory to create relationships that work visually, and using color psychology to make sure those relationships communicate the right things emotionally. Here's what that looks like in practice. A monochromatic palette in deep navy blue uses color theory to create visual coherence and color psychology to signal trust, authority, and stability. A financial services brand using this palette is not making an aesthetic choice, it is a communication choice. We have been here long enough not to need to shout. A complementary palette in burnt orange and deep teal uses color theory to create high contrast and color psychology to create a feeling of energy balanced with depth. Attention getting without aggression, warmth counterbalanced with calm. A brand using this palette signals confidence and approachability simultaneously, which is a harder brief to execute in copy than it is in color. A triadic palette in terracotta, sage, and dusty blue uses color theory to create vibrancy and color psychology to signal authenticity, groundedness, and a connection to natural materials. E-color in the triad reinforces the same emotional territory through a different pathway. This is deliberate redundancy, using three hues to say the same thing three different ways simultaneously, all in a fraction of a second before a word is read. Saturation and brightness are doing more work than you think. One of the most underappreciated variables in brand color is not hue, but saturation and brightness. The same hue at different saturation levels communicates entirely different things. A highly saturated red is aggressive, urgent, and cheap feeling in many contexts. The same red desaturated to a dusty rose is warm, approachable, and current. The hue is the same, the communication is completely different. Eye tracking data from 2026 studies reveals that purple elements generate 34% longer fixation times than other colors, suggesting deeper cognitive processing. But highly saturated purple reads as childish and cheap. Desaturated purple reads as premium and editorial. Brightness affects perceived weight. Darker values feel heavier, more authoritative, more serious. Lighter values feel airier, more approachable, more contemporary. A brand that understood this would never just choose a color. Hue, saturation, and brightness are three separate decisions, and all three are communicating simultaneously. Treating them as one choice wastes two-thirds of the opportunity. Color increases brand recognition by up to 80% and influences 85% of purchasing decisions. Those numbers only hold when the color is chosen with intention. A randomly selected palette that happens to look nice in a logo generates some recognition. A palette built on the intersection of color theory and color psychology, where e-hue, saturation, and brightness decision is made in service of a specific emotional communication, builds something that compounds over time. The color becomes the brand. The brand becomes the color. The recognition becomes an asset that grows e-time the brand applies the palette consistently. The brief before the palette. The most common mistake in brand color selection is treating it as a design decision instead of a strategy decision. Color selection should follow a brief that answers the same questions the creative brief answers for any other brand element. What specific emotional state do we need the audience to be in when they encounter this brand? What does the competitive landscape look like in color? And what is unclaimed? What does our audience's existing relationship with color in this category tell us about what to expect and what to subvert? What will this palette need to do across e-surface it touches? Digital, print, physical, environmental. Only after answering those questions should anyone open a design application and start selecting hues. Color is not decoration. It is the first word your brand speaks to e-person who encounters it. It deserves to be chosen with the same rigor as the other word. If your brand's color palette cannot be explained strategically in two sentences, it was chosen with preference, not intention. That is the conversation worth having before the next rebrand, the next campaign, or the next time someone in a meeting says, "I just like that shade of blue." You know where to find me. From yours truly, Josh Pears. Thanks for listening. Find more about me at joshpears.com.